Claire, and welcome to Rusted Junk, the 80s movie podcast. Do you dream about gremlins? How hard can you actually die? Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe? If those mean something to you, then you're in the right place. This season, we're all about a dip into the 90s. So over to Charlie, Amanda, Joe and Dom for the film.
Hello and welcome to season 8. See, we're an 80s movies podcast, but this season it's a dip in the 90s. So we are going to cover 90s films. So I just wanted to get that out, right out the door. This is what we're doing this time. So before I tell you what film we're going to be covering, I want to introduce Joe. Joe, do you want to say hello?
Hello.
And Dom, who's a Billy Whiz for this one, but great, excellent.
Hello, everybody.
Unfortunately, we don't have Amanda with us. She's not too well, so she can't join us for the opener, as they say. But anyway, I go first. It's my choice. I thought I'd start off with, an action flick that everyone knows, or maybe you don't know. I mean, now that we're veering into the 90s, who knows where the audience is going to take us. But our core audience, we love you, so this is our gift to you. We're covering Speed. So Speed is a 1994 action film starring Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock and Dennis Hopper. It was released on June the 10th, 1994 and made $350 million worldwide on a $34 million budget. Bad, making it the fifth highest grossing film of 1994. Gents, would you like to have a guess at the four films above it?
No, I can't even think.
Whenever Amanda's not here, it always reveals these shocking holes in my film knowledge.
Right, because she fills them in. She's that fountain of knowledge that goes, my God, wait a minute, I'll give you a clue.
She takes the heat off me, put it that way. So I'll be lucky if I can just guess films from 1994.
All right, if I give you an actor, you just got to, and then you just give me the film. In fourth place, Jim Carrey.
Ace Ventura?
No.
Mask?
Yes. In the third spot, Schwarzenegger. 94.
And was it True Lies?
It was True Lies, yes. Ugh, number two. Laugh is like a box of chocolates.
Jesus. The multi-Oscar winning Forrest Gump.
Yes, they don't always get it right at the Academy. So what was number one? Animated Disney.
Lion King?
Lion King. Circle of Life itself. Two poor films at one and two. I mean, seriously.
Lion King is not a poor film.
It's a poor film.
Forrest Gump is more loved over here, although it's lost its luster throughout the years.
Hmm. Is that because of... anyway, right, no, let's not go there.
I'm hoping somebody does Forrest Gump this season because, yeah, we need to unpick it. It's been hinted at, alluded to, and obviously there are certain things we can't discuss, but I think we should go double down on Forrest Gump.
Right, fine. If we're doing threats, if you do Forrest Gump, anybody picks Forrest Gump, right, I am making you watch the director's cut of JFK at 3 hours, 46 minutes. That's where we're going.
I'll do that.
So, Sword of Damocles is hanging over all of you.
I kind of, now I'm thinking about Forrest Gump, and I might actually just push one movie out of the way and insert that one. But you'll never know.
I might be sick that week.
You never know. You might like it.
I don't like it.
How many times have you seen it?
About four, unfortunately. It's usually with like family. You watch it the first time. You go to the cinema to see it the first time. And you go, And then you watch it again and it just loses its lustre. It's like bubblegum on the subway. You know, like Elf. The bubblegum. It just loses its flavor every single time.
Do you know we have a restaurant chain over here called Bubblegump?
Bubblegum, yeah.
Is it over there too?
No, thankfully we've got a bit more sense on that, but yeah. Anyway, right. Well, I've got that to look forward to, that I'll be nervously furrowing my brow when it comes to film choices. Thankfully, I know it won't be Amanda that picks Forrest Gump, so you'll have to waste one of yours on revisionist rubbish. Anyway, let's go on to the trailer. Here's a trailer for Speed. Let's do it.
All right, pop quiz. Airport. Gunman with one hostage. He's using her for cover. He's almost to a plane. You're 100 feet away.
What do you think?
Shoot the hostage.
What?
Go for the good wound and he can't get to the plane with her. Clear shot.
You're deeply nuts, you know that?
All right, gentlemen, what we have here are 13 passengers in an express elevator. Bomb's already taken out cables. Bomber wants $3 million or he blows the emergency brakes.
Anything else that'll keep this elevator from falling?
Basement.
He can strike anywhere. At any time.
Will Mr. Guest please sign in?
Why are they messing with me? Do they think I'm doing this for fun?
For L.A. cop Jack Travon.
Tell me again, Harry, why did I take this job?
Oh, come on, 30 more years of this, you get a tiny pension and a cheap gold watch.
Cool.
The game began.
Very exciting, Jack. Some close calls, huh?
When someone put the city of Los Angeles to the ultimate test.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do? What do you do?
Now.
Are you insured?
Yeah, why?
He's the only solution.
We just got a ransom demand from your terrorist. Says he's rigged the city bus. Where's Jack?
Where do you think?
Stay on or get off.
Get off.
This is much better.
Everybody hold on!
Sandra Bullock.
Pop quiz. You have a hair trigger aimed at your head. What do you do? What do you do?
Speed. Get ready for Rush Hour.
Action packed. If you'd watched that trailer, then yeah, you would want to go. You'd want to go and see it. It's good. It's decent enough.
Yeah. In a shocking lapse of professionalism, we neglected to watch the trailer before the.
I watched it, so at least
started. So Joe and I will just nod politely and
just nod. Yeah, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if I should pretend I saw it.
It was only when I said let's do the trailer that I realised you hadn't seen it. I've seen it, and it's good. It's a good trailer.
It's a strong start to season 9. This is
I love. Well,
at
that
least
trailer,
we put the trailer
man.
In. I mean, at least the trailer went in. So, I mean, that's something. We are getting better.
We're a house down. We've got bogged down in a Forrest Gump controversy within the first 5 minutes of the pod.
We always get involved in Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump should be banned. Well, anyway, should be banned. I was about to say from the podcast. But anyway, why did I pick Speed? Because I think it's a bona fide action classic. I think it's definitely up there. I think you've got Keanu Reeves coming off the introduction of the 80s, you know, obviously Bill and Ted. I don't know whether or not you'd say Bill and Ted was his breakout movie. I don't know. But then you've got Point Break, and then you've got this. Yes, there are other films in between. We'll go into that in roll call. But my goodness, I mean, this has got... I think it's a film that's got everything. I think it's a film that I remember... You know, looking forward to watching, especially after Point Break, and for me, it didn't disappoint. So I was, it was a no-brainer to start the season off with something like this. We will go around different genres, I'm sure. We'll pick different types of films, but let's start off with a banger, as they say.
How old were you when you saw the movie?
So I would have been 22. So yeah, I was in Newcastle upon Tyne. So I remember going to see it in Newcastle upon Tyne at the time. Yeah, and loving it and coming out and going again, I think, a week later. Because just in case I missed something. I mean, I have watched this film quite a few times. The acting in it, I mean, Dennis Hopper, yes, he's hamming it up completely from what he normally does, but plays a good villain. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I remember when this came out, I don't think it was popular at the time. I think it got a lot of word of mouth because people were making fun of it because it basically was like Die Hard on a bus. I think they were calling it that. And it just sounded weird. It sounded that this whole movie is going to take place on a bus, basically. And then the name of the movie, Speed, it just seemed like a lame title for a movie. But I eventually saw it and I loved it. I thought it was really good. And I didn't think I was going to like it as much this time around, but I did. You know, I thought it was pretty good. It kind of shows, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a weird title or a weird premise, as long as you got a good story, good actors, and a good director, people are going to be entertained. And I think that that's what this movie did, is it entertained me again. And I wish, we had more movies like this nowadays.
With very little special effects and very little green screens, just stunts and just filming and just, you know, real life stuff. Anyway, Billy Whiz, Dom.
Yes, well, I heard we were doing Speed on this podcast, so I thought I'd make some drug references to it and throughout the filming of this. So just to keep your finger hovering over that edit button. Yeah, so I was 18 in 1994. What a year that was, eh? Being 18 years old, so I would have been living in Ilkley, West Yorkshire, posh town, good for a dirty night out. And yeah, but I probably would have seen it in Leeds because that's where I used to go watch my films. Yeah, I remember it was a big deal when it came out. It was, I think, it had a lot of buzz around it, certainly in the UK when it came out. And there was definitely also a word of mouth factor. I remember it being a bit of a blockbuster, really. And it's a good choice to get this decade launched. A decade that I'm on much more solid ground on than compared to the 80s, because in the 90s I started it when I was 14 and finished it when I was 24, so definitely formative years for me. I'm just going to come out and say it's not as good as I remembered it, so I sense there's going to be a bit of fanboying going on from you two. I think there are some flaws in the film, and I don't mean to critique it compared to something by Scorsese or Fellini. You know, it is what it is. It's an action blockbuster, but nevertheless, I personally don't think it belongs in that Premier League of top echelon blockbusters. But we'll get into that and unpack that as we do the review later.
Okay, interesting. If you had to choose between Point Break and Speed, which one would you pick?
That is a good question, because I thought about this. So I was thinking, like, you know, my hierarchy of action films, Die Hard is one we've discussed on this pod, and that's an absolute 10 out of 10 in my book. Hunt for Red October, you know, again, linking into the cinematographer and the director of this film. But I haven't seen Point Break for a while, so it's hard to do a like for like comparison, but gut feel, I think I might prefer Point Break this film.
Okay. All right. Well, as I say, it's interesting, because we're not, the idea of this season is not to pick, you know, we may stray into like 10 out of 10s that people, you know, laud and praise. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just don't think we'll do it all of the time. I know my choices. I've made sure that don't think there are any 10 out of 10s in there. So, but I think there are some high marks to be had and good discussions to be had.
But one thing I'll pick you up on is even in this intro is you've chosen this film to get the 90s season launched, and I agree it's a good choice. But you could almost say it is an 80s film, just in a different decade, really. You know, it's quite reminiscent of some of the films that we've reviewed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at the cast list, I mean, you've got the emergence of Sandra Bullock. I know she did some films, well, in fact, not many before this. This is her breakout time. So you've got Keanu Reeves has already made it. He's already in there as an action hero. Sandra Bullock, I think we'll talk about her when it comes to talking about the film. But I think she's quite the surprise package in all of this. She's, you know, you don't expect some... I don't know who else I'd put in her role, for example. But, I mean, we'll get to it when we talk about the film, but...
Well, I do think that's interesting. So just to foreshadow that discussion, I think one's view of Sandra Bullock is going to be fairly fundamental to your enjoyment of this film. So I did a bit of crowdsourcing ahead of this. So I watched this film with both my daughters. One's 15, one's 12.
Okay.
And a friend of mine watched this. So I've got their scores. I've got their feedback on written down in front of me and around my mind. But Sandra Bullock was definitely far from being a universal, unanimous shoo-in for a popular choice for that role. So yeah, it'd be good to explore her, as we no doubt will do when we get to roll call.
Yeah. I agree. She was pretty attractive. I did have the hots for her at one point, but then when I watched this movie, I was like, yeah, she wasn't that, you know, I mean, she was okay, but I could have seen other actresses playing in that role for sure.
Yeah. I've even heard more scathing feedback than that, Joe. Stealing a living is a phrase I've heard applied to Sandra Bullock. And actually, if you look at her filmography, but I know we're tripping into roll call here, then
we'll get into that.
Of any substance, you know, what is her best film?
I have things to say about her too.
Good. Controversial thing. Get a drink inside you. I've ordered a gin and tonic on my family WhatsApp group to be delivered. So yeah, I need to get going.
What?
Get stuck in. Yeah. I was like, so I was gonna make an inappropriate joke there, but yes, there's a G&T on its way.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. On that note, should we go into roll call then?
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's roll call.
Roll call.
Okay, so Keanu Reeves. Before we go into Keanu Reeves' roll call, I know I put this on the WhatsApp group, but seriously, one of Hollywood's nice guys, good guys, genuinely, does a lot for, just pops up in just the most unlikeliest of locations, at a wedding, you know, throwing a football to a young lad who like comes up and like speaks to him and stuff, and it just seems like he's doing it for nothing in return. He's not doing it because he wants the Instagram shot. He wants it to go viral. I don't think he cares if the cameras are there or not. I think he just wants to go and do it. He just wants to. It's strange because in the age of celebrity, and certainly in the age of more vapid celebrities these days than used to be, you know, throwaway actors and actresses that you're supposed to get excited about on Netflix. And I'm like, don't even know who you are. And I don't know what film you're in before, but I probably didn't like it. So, and that type of thing. The age of the movie star is dying, unfortunately. And then you've got Keanu Reeves. And you just think, do you know what? Tom Cruise, Keanu Reeves, there's still hope.
Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely admire him. It's just amazing because he's one of those celebrities that likes to be anonymous when he does things too. He doesn't look for the spotlight. He doesn't call the press before he does something. He's just a nice frigging guy. I mean, I've never heard anybody say, I can't stand Keanu Reeves. Yeah. I hate Keanu Reeves movies. He's just a genuinely nice guy. I mean, from what I've seen and from what I've read, maybe there's skeletons in his closets, but I doubt it. And what's interesting too is that he was born in Beirut. And when you think of Beirut, you think of, you know, like a lot of like worn, torn, and, you know, probably not the nicest place in the world. And then he comes out of there, and I have a whole different impression of people from Lebanon after seeing what type of person he became. You know, that he's very gentle, he's very reserved, he's bends over backwards for people. I think he really looks at people like almost like he looks at life, I don't deserve this life. I know I make a lot of money, I have a lot of fame, but I'm no better than anybody else. And in a way, it's not fair for everybody else. And I think that's his contrition, is that he's trying to make everybody feel like either they're on his level or better than him. I mean, that's a, I always get that whenever I see him in an interview. Again, I think he's an amazing guy. I was going to say, like, some of his films, like, I never expected after Bill and Ted, which I think, I don't, maybe that wasn't his first movie, because I could think of another movie around that time.
Yeah, there were three before that.
It was River's Edge. Got,
River's Edge was one of them, yeah.
That was before or after?
Before. Permanent Record. There was Bill and Ted, and then Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, is he the greatest actor in the world? No, of course he isn't. You know, but can he deliver? Yes, because, I mean, you've got John Wick, I mean, who's just... I mean, how can you have the fourth film be possibly better than the other three? It's incredible to keep that up. It's just it's amazing. Dom, anyway, sorry.
If you two have quite finished spending your loads here, yeah, I just got a few observations from my side. I think number one, he was born in Beirut, but I think it was like a diplomatic family. I don't think
was it really.
Birthed in the rubble of some apartment block with snipers bullets raining around his head. I think he had quite.
Oh, you popped Joe's bubble.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Well, that's how they pictured it. Yeah, like the living room was caving in, and the couch was falling into the next building below, and then he popped out.
No, I think his housemaid might have got a parking ticket one day. That's probably the most traumatic thing to happen to him in his childhood. But his mother was English, of course, so that explains his impeccable manners and decorum, which you serve by, Joe. Yeah, yeah. So
wear a bowler hat.
So he's raised by his English mother. I think that basically unlocks a secret to understanding Keanu Reeves. I would say that as an actor, he's a bit of an enigma in the sense that there can't be too many. In fact, he may be the best example of an actor with such a wide range of outcomes. He can be excellent or he can be absolutely dreadful. And, you know, for every good film, which we'll talk about, I'm sure I can't talk about Keanu Reeves and not talk about The Matrix. Oh, my God, he's been awful in some stuff. Bram Stoker's Dracula, anyone?
He played Jonathan Harker and it was just awful.
If I'd cringed any harder, I'd be a fossil. That's how bad it was. Yeah, to say his mother's English, his English accent is hideous. Nick Van Dyke gave a sigh of relief and thought, thank God the heat's off me now after he saw his performance in
Don't forget, Don Cheadle is the worst English accent ever.
I got to hear that. Was that in
Ocean's 11? Dear me.
Yeah, so look, and I just think, is he a nice guy, isn't he? Who knows? I think it's interesting that Keanu Reeves gets some praise for bending over backwards, whereas Tom Hanks, allegedly doing the same thing, gets criticised for it. But
not the one bending over backwards, Tom, but anyway, let's not go there.
But I don't know.
Go on, Jay.
No, I was going to say, Tom Hanks, I think he's got issues too. Well, he's definitely, I mean, if you look at his kids, one of them is always in trouble. But I also think that he's got a lot of power that he wields behind the scenes that, you know, we're just not, it's not out in the open.
Not the nice guy he.
Yeah, I don't think Keanu Reeves, I can't, like, if they offered him that power, he'd go, oh, thanks, guys, but no, I'm okay.
Yeah, he would.
Would he, though? Or is the Hollywood PR machine actually so slick that these kind of supposedly unposed photos of him having a sandwich or giving somebody 20 grand for a wedding, you know, is that
spontaneous? Right.
Is it staged?
Let's not be cynical on this one. Let's just accept it for what it...
Okay. Well, it works. It worked on me. I'm a sucker.
Worked on me, then.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm here to provide the antidote to that. Okay.
Right, I would say, like, his acting is... He's like Clint Eastwood, I would say, or Cary Grant, where they're not great actors, but they have a great presence.
They do, yes.
For the most part, they play the same role all the time. And when they don't, like with Dracula and Dangerous Liaisons, it's a bad idea to have gotten involved.
Oh, there's one worse than that, but we will. And I'm not talking about the Law of Diminishing Returns, which is the Matrix quadrilogy. I haven't even watched the last one because I've heard it's that bad. It's bad enough that I watched Bill and Ted Face the Music and turned it off after 25 minutes going, this is not worth my time. This is dreadful. It's awful. So yes, there are some bad ones in there. I haven't mentioned the one that's probably the worst. I'll tell you, well, I think the worst one is he starred in Kenneth Branagh's adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing. And to say he's wooden is probably very, very discriminatory and offensive to planks. He just does nothing. It literally brings nothing to the party apart from a very bad performance. Sorry if you're listening to this, Keanu.
But that's my point about him is if the role suits him, like Neo in The Matrix, then or Bill and Ted, then he flourishes and he's great and he's loads of fun and enjoyable. If he tries to play against type, then I think he pretty much fails every time. And one of the points I'd make about speed is actually he's playing a little bit against type here. He's more of a, I think, a kind of an 80s action hero. And he bulked up at the gym. He looks the part, but is he a convincing all-American action hero in the spirit of John McClane?
Yes, is the answer. Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
You say John McCain or John McClane?
John McCain from the Chip Factory, the Chip Family. No, John McClane. Yeah, I went for it and failed.
Where's you have a John McCain over there.
Yeah, he makes chips. Yeah.
Oh, the John McCain. We have a John McCain. He ran for president. He lost against Obama.
Yes, and his running mate Sarah Palin. Yes, I do remember that.
Yep,
those times. Anyway. I'll name some films and you tell me if you've seen them and you think it's good or bad. Parenthood. He plays the boyfriend, the wastoid boyfriend.
No, I remember that. He wasn't very good in that.
No, he wasn't.
The film's all right, but I don't remember his performance.
Point Break, yes, I think we all agree. Yeah. Point Break, yeah. Dracula, we all agree, bad. Much Ado About Nothing, bad. Johnny Mnemonic.
Never seen it. I heard it was horrible. I haven't
seen it for a long time. All I remember is Henry Rollins is in it, and it's like supposed to be way ahead of its time. This may split the camp. I don't know. Devil's Advocate.
Good. I think he's good in that. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Good film. Yeah. Good performance.
I never seen that one.
He's genuinely good in that. The Matrix. Yes. I think we all agree. Yeah, bona fide classics. Good, yeah.
I mean, when you think again, Will Smith was going to take that role. Yeah, no.
I'm just going to get Matrix 2. Or was it Reloaded?
Also, no.
He's just a victim of the script, with those movies.
I know, 3 and, as I say, 4, pretty bad. But then, Constantine,
he was very good. I was going to mention that. Yeah.
And number 2 is in production at the moment. Making a sequel to it. I think a lot of people have been asking for a sequel to that for a long time. We've got a bit of a blip. The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake.
I never seen it.
Pointless making a remake. It's like remaking Forbidden Planet. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. John Wick 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 being, I think, the best one. He plays the Sage in this SpongeBob SquarePants movie. I think if you know his voice, you go, it's Keanu Reeves. And then plays Duke Kaboom in Toy Story 4. Canada's greatest stuntman.
That movie I didn't like at all. And he was no prize in that movie. Not that he did much, but yeah, no.
No. But so you're right. There's some belters in there. There's some, okay.
Yeah.
And there's some that you go and never watch again.
We didn't dwell enough on Bill and Ted. Excellent adventure, decent film. Bogus Journey, one of those rare examples.
Just as good.
Better. Well, better, I think, yeah.
Okay. And then Face the Music.
Go on, Charles. Do your death quote from Bogus Journey.
No, you're the one that does that.
No.
That's actually, damn it, right.
Is it? I thought it was Bet Your...
You're
bet
sunk by Battleship.
You bet your ass, you... I can't remember. Go on. Let's
Professor
carry on.
Plum with the candlestick.
That's it. Yeah, this is why I asked you to do it. You can remember the lines.
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. Anyway, Sandra Bullock. Here we go.
Here we go.
Strap in, everyone. Sandra Bullock. This is going to be contentious. First of all, we have to address the elephant in the room. Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Yeah.
Which might possibly be the worst film of the 90s, or one of the worst films of the 90s. There is nothing going for that film. Jason Patrick is not a leading actor. Willem Dafoe, while he plays, is usually really good, is phones his performance in. The whole premise is just dreadful from start to finish. It is abomination and shouldn't exist.
Is Jason Patrick in that movie playing Keanu Reeves' role?
No, he's playing a different person. I've forgotten how they meet.
So she likes cops.
Yeah, she falls in love with him on the boat because he can do sign language. I remember he does sign language to a girl at another table. She goes, oh, she gets all dewy, misty-eyed, and goes, oh, it's lovely. And then they find themselves obviously thrust together.
Yeah,
no mention of being with Keanu Reeves.
See also Four Weddings and a Funeral. If you want a lazy shortcut for being like a set of attractive man, sign language, second only to owning a dog, I think, is a way of pulling in the movies. But yeah, just basically, if you're on the pull, if you find yourself newly single, go and learn sign language as a man. I think it's guaranteed to win the day.
So let's do yay or nay on Sandra Bullock, and then we can move. Yeah, if you want to stop on a film, we want to discuss it a bit further. So, Demolition Man, yay or nay?
Yay. I liked her in that. I thought she was hot in that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a prerequisite.
Nay.
I'm going to sound like a horse throughout this section.
You've got to be something in there.
Well, I don't think if Keanu Reeves has the widest range from classic to turkey in his acting performances, Sandra Bullock, I'm just going to come out and say it, she's not a good actress, and her success has been largely undeserved.
Exactly.
She's middle of the road at best, and quite often quite rubbish.
Oh, well, while I might agree, you know, there's something to be had in this list. So,
honestly, if you start liking some of these films, then I'm going to have suspicions about you.
The worst premise for a film was While You Were Sleeping. Do you remember the film?
Is that the date rape film?
Well, the guy that's in the coma and she pretends to be his other half and they all met and everything like that, hoping he never wakes up. What? What?
I think, well, I just wanted to get back to Speed 2.
Okay.
The mistake with Speed 2 is, I don't know how, but they had to realize that she was not the star of the film. If Keanu Reeves was not on board, they should not make a Speed 2.
No.
And I think that what they did is they gave her movies like that while you were sleeping because they thought they had a new Meg Ryan or someone like that, where she was cute, she was lovable, and that the girls would want to be her and the guys would like to look at her. But like what Dom was saying, she doesn't, I don't know, her career is overrated. I think she's equivalent to Marissa Tomei, and we'll get to that too. Hopefully you're going to cover one of her films.
I don't know that we will, but we may. I don't know if she's on my list.
Duty Bound to shoehorn in an Oscar reference here. She has won an Academy Award for Best Actress.
That's the film I was talking about. Yeah.
Okay, go for it, Joe.
That's what I meant.
No, that'd be a good choice if it was there.
Where she plays the mom of the adopted football player.
What's his name?
Blindside. Yeah, it's called Blindside. That's a pointless answer. If I had a gun at my head, I wouldn't have remembered that film for Best Actress nomination.
I saw that movie, and like you guys like to say, it's rubbish. And for her to basically get nominated, I think it was a mistake.
Well,
like Marissa Tomei.
But to win.
To win. Yeah. Like Marissa Tomei when she won her Oscar for My Cousin Vinny, that's not real. Same thing goes with
It wasn't
with
what
her,
was on the
Sandra
card,
Bullock.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's a load of crap. I think that they did another one with her. They're like, oh, you know, well, let's just give her one. I mean, I don't know who was nominated that year, but like,
who should have won? You mean? Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Judi Dench, she's got a couple already, and you know, whatever. I'm sure there was so many better actresses that were nominated than for what the role that she played. And again, I saw the movie, and I was like, she didn't do anything good. All she did was she applied some fake Southern accent that didn't seem realistic whatsoever.
Well, I've got the other roles here. So who was up for it that she beat? So Helen Mirren for The Last Station. Terry Mulligan for An Education. Gabori Sidibe for Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. And Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia. So it wasn't a vintage year. It's not
I'd give that to Marisa Tomei, to be honest. after that list. It's a bit like, you know, do you remember, Oscars 92? Sorry, 93. Whereby Al Pacino won for Scent of a Woman. Finally, he gets an Oscar. Not for The Godfather, not for Godfather Part 2, not for Scarface, not for Serpico, not for any of the other the roles, but he gets it for that. That is the Oscars going, I think we need to give him an award. And yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
That film and that performance are awful.
Oh, come on.
No, they are truly dreadful. In fact, it's like a pastiche now for Pacino thing. If anyone's going to do an Al Pacino impression these days, they do a massive overacting, slapping and rubbing his face and all
and
that.
The Marines,
it's just, you know, it's shamefully poor. I think he's more shameful than Robert De Niro just doing anything for money these days.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, enough said, done.
No, honestly.
It's Robert De Niro.
Pacino should be more ashamed.
Right, let's get through Sandra Bullock. Yay or nay? The Net. Nay, it's a dreadful film. Miss Congeniality, which loads of people seem to like. I've never watched.
That was more of a chick flick, you know. Okay. So it did. She did it. She served her purpose.
Gravity.
I think that's one of two good films she's made, just to save me saying nay for each one. Gravity's it's not brilliant, but it's okay. I'd watch it again. And The Lost City, I thought was all right.
Yes, because I haven't watched The Lost City. She was the bad guy, bad girl, bad woman, bad person, whatever, in Minions. She was in Ocean's 8.
Oh, she was good in Minions. I liked her in Minions.
She was good in Minions, but she was dreadful, and everyone was dreadful in Ocean's 8.
I never seen that.
But then she was good in Bird Box. I think she played a really good role in it. Then you got The Lost City. The last one I've got is Bullet Train, and I haven't watched that either, so I don't know.
I do think, despite criticising her, there is scope for her to have a later stage career and for her to become more interesting, as it's less reliant on her supposed looks and girl next door attitude.
Absolutely.
She could play some darker roles and a more mature performance. I'd be interested to see how that panned out, to be honest.
And she's recently become a widow, and obviously that's pretty hard. Pretty hard on her as well. So, moving on. Dennis Hopper. Otherwise, we won't make it out of roll call. Dennis Hopper. Can I just read out the films and then we go yay or nay? And by all means, pick one out if you need to. Cool Hand Luke.
He was in that.
He was? I think yes. Yes,
Cool Hand Luke. Although I don't remember him, but I like that movie.
John?
That's a great film, but yeah, he's not integral to it, is he?
No, he's not. However, Easy Rider.
Yeah.
Very good film. Yeah, 100%. Got Oscar nominated, didn't he, for his directorial debut, because he also directed it.
Apocalypse Now.
Fantastic film.
I don't remember in that either.
What? He's the soldier that introduces Martin Sheen to Kurtz, to Marlon Brando.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Jesus.
Look, I think Joe's point before you start listing all is correct, which is like that, with the exception of Easy Rider, and I would say Blue Velvet, that he's often a part of films, but he's not the main focus of it. And actually, as a speed as an example,
yeah, but bring something to it.
Yeah,
I think he's great in Rumblefish, for example, which is the next one with Mickey Rourke. It's just an incredible film, and he's incredible in it.
I want to watch that.
In preparing for the pod, I was reading up on him, and apparently he was one of Hollywood's most notorious drug addicts through the 70s and 80s, which is why he's, you know, often only a smaller part in films. So, production was often delayed in his films by his unreliable behaviour. Stated in New Hollywood History, Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, that Harper's cocaine intake had reached 3 grams a day by this time, complemented by 30 beers, marijuana and Cuba Libres. According to Rolling Stone magazine, Hopper was one of Hollywood's most notorious drug addicts for 20 years. He spent much of the 70s and 80s living as an outcast in New Mexico after the success of Easy Rider, and was notorious for his troubled relationships with women. including one of the mamas and papas, the slimmer one, who was married to for 8 days in the 70s. So yeah, he lived a full and rich, varied life. He was also a drug addict and alcoholic, which is why he's never leading man material.
Well, no, he's never been a leading man.
I guess except for Blue Velvet.
Yeah, and that's a brilliant... And in that, he plays a drug-addled, womanizing...
Easy Rider. He's a joint leading man, I would say. Yeah. But you've also got appalling choices like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which is dreadful. It's a grubby film. It's not horror. It's just not good. He's brilliant in a film called Red Rock West. Unfortunately, another bad choice. He was King Cooper in the ill-fated Super Mario Brothers with Bob Hoskins. He was in that. But Waterworld, another bad choice. True Romance, though. Come on, he's brilliant in True Romance.
I don't remember him in True Romance.
He's Christian Slater's dad.
Yeah, another example of where he plays a... Yeah, he's all right in it, but he's probably on screen for, 10 minutes?
Yeah, well... Anyway, we're moving on because we need to get to the film.
Hoosiers. He was good in Hoosiers. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Never. No. Things that I don't know and don't mean anything to me. I just skip past.
Well, that's what he got his second Oscar for was Hoosiers.
Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. See, this one.
You should check it out. Gene Hackman's in it. Barbara Hershey. It's a really good movie.
Oh, okay.
Feel good movie.
Jeff Daniels. As soon as you mention Jeff Daniels, what do you think? What's the role?
Dumb and Dumber.
It's got to be.
He deserves loads of credit for being able to do that to his more sort of dad roles. Because 101 Dalmatians, that kind of mainstream fare that he does. He's in The Martian, playing an unflappable...
I saw last week. No. It just started on BBC Three, of all things. Martian, I haven't seen this for a while. And just transfixed with it. It's a great film.
I quite like, as a little subgenre, space films. That's why I quite like Gravity with Sandra Bullock as well. I do like things set in space. Yeah. That's a good film.
We're just looking at his breakout film, Something Wild with Melanie Griffith. The most, I don't care. I know I'm going to get some abuse from Dom at this point and possibly Joe. But the scariest film I've ever seen, which made grown men jump and, you know, arachnophobia. I'm sorry, if you don't like spiders, you ain't going to like arachnophobia. You ain't going to like jumping spiders. So, arachnophobia.
The clue's in the title. Film, yeah.
PG film, there were big men going, oh, God. So, yeah, I remember seeing that. Dumb and Dumber, and obviously the sequel to that as well. The Newsroom, which is a great series, and Aaron Sorkin series. He's wonderful at that. And again, I had The Martian. Moving on. Joe Morton, who played the captain. He's one of my favourite people in this film. I think he plays such a good... it was Captain McMahon, I think. He's just brilliant in this film. But anyone recognise him from anything? Anyone?
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. He does pop up in Speed 2, unfortunately. Bad decisions all round. Let's get all of the cast except the one that actually makes a difference. He was in Executive Decision, which I think is an exceptionally good film. Kurt Russell, Steven Seagal, brilliant. I just think it's a good film, but then it looks like I'm on my own on that one. He was in Blues Brothers 2000, which God knows why that was ever made. He was in Batman vs. Superman and Justice League as Silas Stone. Can you tell me who that was, Joe?
That was Cyborg's father. He was the one who put him together.
Right. Okay. That's why we have you from Nerd Alert, amongst many reasons. And Godzilla King of Monsters, which is dreadful. Last one.
Please tell me it's Alan Ruck.
It is.
Ah, excellent. Good.
I know somebody
who thinks Alan Ruck looks like Edward Norton. What? Discuss.
If you pull Ed Norton's face up slightly.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, there you go. You didn't dismiss it quite as out of hand as I did, but...
I like the fact that I've just written, obviously I've written Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Cameron Fry, which is why I'm Cameron Fry on the podcast, for those that are watching. He was in Class. We will do Class at some point. Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Jacqueline Bissett, Alan Ruck is a very... And John Cusack is in it as well. But we will do that at some point. Young Guns 2, he played Captain Harriman in Star Trek Generations, the guy that was leading out the flagship until he asked Kirk to take over. He was in Twister, so another Jan de Bont film. He played Rabbit, and he was in the TV series Masters of Sex, which I didn't watch.
How can you mention Masters of Sex? Because his famous TV role is Succession. Have you not seen Succession?
No, is he in that?
Oh, yeah, he plays one of the sons of the Rupert Murdoch figure in Succession. Joe, did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it either.
Oh, gentlemen, oh my God. Right, I would say, is it the best TV show of the
last... rubbish.
What?
I heard it's very good.
Succession is brilliant. It's chef's kiss. It's such good TV. So basically, well, anyway, he's good in it. He plays the eldest son, so should be the heir apparent, but he's like a hapless loser compared to his brothers, and he's very, very good in it. So if you like Alan Ruck, I'd certainly encourage you to watch Succession, and it's just a brilliant TV series, even if you haven't, even if you're not an Alan Ruck fan.
Another reason why I don't watch Succession is it was written by Jesse Armstrong. And Jesse Armstrong lived in Oxford Street and came to a party of mine in the 80s. And he just drank all the beer and then just buggered off. And I was like, right, okay.
Jesse Armstrong, you've got a bit from, of a claim Peep now. Show fame as well.
Peep Show fame, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I've got, there's people in Oxford Street that genuinely don't like him for other different reasons.
Was he in Peep Show? I did watch Peep Show.
No, he wrote Peep Show.
Oh, he wrote it. Okay.
Yeah.
I
did like Peep Show. That was pretty cool.
I was talking about Peep Show the other day. Big Sue's from Peep Show. She's in the royal family now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's at all the main events on the balcony. She's, you know, not quite inner circle, but she's second circle.
Yeah, she was. Was she at Charles' inauguration or was she at the funeral?
Yeah. No, she's married. I forget who she's married to. It's not. Anyway, she's one of these. Members of the royal family / parasitic bloodsuckers, depending on your political point of view. But yeah, she's well in there now, and she's unlikely to be talking about...
Up the Republic.
Up the Republic, eh? Oh,
yep.
Okay. I will say, I like Big Sue's. Really like
her. Yeah, don't like Prince Charles, but you like Big Sue's. That's fine.
Well, honestly, Joe, do a bit...
I don't have to like Prince Charles like Big Sue's.
True, absolutely.
If you like a posh lass... Joe, or a posh sounding lass, and we're all partial to that. Then yeah, follow her career post Peep Show, because she's definitely done well for herself.
Yeah, okay. Marrying into the royals. That took a lot of effort, didn't it?
it's not a bad outcome for life, is it really? I'm trying to pair one of my daughters off with Prince George. So
what did she do apart from appear at a party and talk to a royal?
Oh, well,
it's hardly a lot of effort, is it?
Well, you could have done it, hey? Why didn't you do it?
You know, maybe I was surprised to learn.
It's so straightforward, yeah.
Fine, maybe I will then.
This might go off.
Maybe I will too.
But I was surprised to learn that in the in-betweeners, that Charlotte is a big, I guess, personality over there in England.
Which one's Charlotte? Is that Emily Attack?
The Attic one. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. She's very popular there. Yeah,
Joe, just whoa. Right. We're talking, I think, C-list on a good day. D-list,
not even C. Come on.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, she's done all right for herself.
But... She did a one-woman show, a tour. And I'm like, what's that going to be? It's a bit like we had a tour. There's a guy over here called Noel Clark, super vet. And he was doing arena tours. A vet was doing arena tours. And I'm like, what are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about rescuing a dog? Fine. You've got 2 hours to fill, but possibly 90 minutes to fill on vet stories. He didn't tour again. I think possibly the reason why. But Emily Attack, what's she going to do? Oh, yeah. Hi. I was in the in-betweeners. Anyway, the bar's open. You know, what do you do?
So, Joe, I was just surprised that out of all the people from that show that she went on to find some kind of success over there.
It's all relative, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Anyway,
none of them have really been successful.
No, I think the I forget their names, but anyway, what's your opinion on Emily? Is it ATAC attack? Have we established that on that character, on that actress anyway, Joe? You're a fan?
No, I don't like her. No, it's again
all that.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, I saw her in the mirror last week and like they made such a big deal out of her. I don't know if she had a baby or something like
that. You saw her in the mirror last week. You say it casually, like, yeah, how on earth have you got your hands on the Daily Mirror?
Oh, he does. He reads the mirror. And
so no, I read it online.
Mirror.
Yeah, I find it interesting.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough.
Well, I mean, it's either the Mirror, the Mail, or the Sun, or something like that.
Oh, well, don't just use them interchangeably. Which newspaper you read or look at online these days, it determines your socioeconomic class. So the Mirror, it means you're left-leaning working class. The Sun means you're, well, let's not go there, but, you know. Charles, which paper do you read?
I don't read a paper.
Okay. Well, all right, maybe not for
the Telegraph
these days, but online.
I used to read the Telegraph until the Telegraph went all woke.
So you're right to the right of the Telegraph, yeah.
No, I just prefer some. I prefer
the,
some
the
decent
sorts of
writing.
Things you read are, yeah, they're only distributed in pamphlet form, aren't they? Those are handed round in surreptitiously at the back of smoky pubs, yeah. Certain dog tracks, yeah, on a night. Charles and his comrades.
No, you know me well. Right, should we get to the film?
Right.
Let's talk about the film. Otherwise, we end up just doing a podcast where we talk about people that are in the film and then go, oh yeah, there's something else we need to discuss.
I just think we've flirted with your extreme right wing views, but we need to surface these later on in the 90s season, I think. And
well, they may, who knows, which, they may come up.
Which pamphlets you are reading?
I'll bring one of them.
I did want to say something we're talking about the film now, because I don't think you're going to mention this. The very, very, very beginning of this movie with the opening credits.
Yeah,
I thought that was the worst opening credit scene ever. It seemed like it went on forever. I mean, and what kind of building were they in? Like a 300-story building?
It was very laborious, the start. You're thinking, oh, this is quite innovative. They're doing this and they're doing that. And then, yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's another one. Yeah, it's another one. Yeah, it got very boring very quickly.
It's very, very Freudian. I think they did it, and it was tedious, but... so that it was kind of juxtaposed with that guy getting stabbed in the ear. So you had boring generic lift shaft lift up, and then suddenly you get stabbed in the ear, doesn't he? That security guard. So that's what I thought the point of that was.
You were watching with two teenagers, Dom. At that point, did you realise and did you think, oh, wait a minute, this might have a bit more blood and stuff in it than I remembered?
No, honestly.
Did they wince a bit or were they all right?
No, mate, look, you know, teenagers, well, not even teenagers in Rose's case, they find whatever they want online. TikTok, don't they? So, no, I think watching speed's acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say
I watched Die Hard at the cinema with Isabel on the 23rd of December this year.
What was speed rated? It was that R? I think it was a PG over here.
I think it's 15,
PG-13 or something.
I think it's 15.
Which one's speed?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because Die Hard was R. I think that this would be considered more team. Like, no, it was R over here too. I just looked at it.
Well, okay. I was just typing it in and just seeing what it was because probably going to give me your rating.
Yeah, R means restricted. No one under 17 is allowed admitted to the film.
Yeah, so it's equivalent of a 15. So it's 15 over here. Yeah,
so yeah,
that's about right.
Dodgy opening, but you, Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, but then absolutely, and the film's obviously in three acts. It's a good opening act. I think it's got good tension in it. I think the idea of having the fact that he doesn't think that SWAT are going to come, the fact that he's a police officer, that's the thing that annoyed me a little bit, is that he's like going, oh, I hear things up there. Well, of course it is. It's a SWAT trying to rescue the people in there. So it's very unlikely that his plan was going to work, especially when they can go and work around, you know, he's going to monitor every section. He's going to monitor people coming in. He's going to have the video, which we're going to find out, you know, in the middle act with the bus. is covering all the bases, but yet doesn't cover the fact that the sounds that he's hearing are people trying to rescue the people in the lift. That annoyed me slightly. But I do think the scene is very good, especially the scene where the lift's jumping down. You think, could jump out and somebody could just get cut in half or lose a limb or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought the strength of the opening bit was Dennis Hopper. I think he's a non-typical villain. You know, he's older. He's not a, you know, lean, ripped individual. You know, he's a kind of a sort of schlubby guy doing what he's doing. I thought that was good. I thought the point you just made there about the tension with the lift shaft dropping and the woman that refuses to get out, and are they going to lose their arms or a limb when it drops? I thought that was well done. I thought the bit that let it down a little bit was, I just thought it was a bit cliche, the way it introduces and establishes the Keanu Reeves and Jeff, what's he called, character. You know, a lot of banter between them, a lot of kind of quick, quirky one-liners between them. I thought it was a little bit cliche.
See, I like that.
On the nose.
Yeah, see, I like that. You know, the one that you, in the trailer that you didn't watch, what's stopping this lift from reaching the bottom is the basement. And, you know, but again, I don't know why, but I like the captain. The captain is good. He reminds me of a Poe in Aliens. He just reminds me of that like strong character that's, you know, trying to do the everybody respects, everybody, you know, follows the orders without question. He's always there and always trying to help. I just think he's one of the standout characters in this, and just for me, and I don't know why. But every scene that he's in, especially when he's telling him there's no bridge, Jack. You know, I don't know why. Just
I like the writing in it as well. That pop quiz hot shot that stuck, didn't it? I know you and I used to drop that one into conversation.
We did, yes, yeah, but, you did a lot.
But a lot. Too much, that means, doesn't it? But and that in 200 years we've gone from "I regret that I have one life to give for my country" to "F you." That's well done. So it reminds me a little bit of when those scripts that Quentin Tarantino used to tart up a little bit with some zingy one-liners and some more slightly intelligent discussion. And so I just think it's a little bit undermined when they fall back on a bit more cliched banter and interaction between the two police leads.
And you can tell when somebody of a certain genre is given a script. I remember Tarantino was given the script for Crimson Tide and said, can you just do something with this? Can you make it a bit more? And that's where you get the Silver Surfers reference. And that's where you can see where Tarantino's put his little mark in.
I didn't know that. He fixed some of the script or he wrote.
Yeah. He went in and went, you need to establish this between the characters. He was talking about Kirby Silver Surfer and Mobius Silver Surfer, and they were having an argument about it.
I bet he did that conversation with the horses. You know, like how they were born black.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you go, that's the sort of thing that whereby you could look through it and go, yeah, I think that's where he put that in. It establishes the Dennis. It establishes all the characters. I know you weren't keen on the, the sort of banter between the two.
I didn't think anything was bad.
Jeff Daniels.
I thought it was a bit overdone.
Jeff Daniels is really good. Keanu Reeves is really good, and they're unlikely. You know, and obviously they end up talking about we'll shoot the hostage. You know, and then at the end he's like, shoot. Well, I didn't think you were actually going to do it. And then you think Dennis Hopper's dead, and then it leads into Act Two.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think it's a strong opening act. I think it's arguably the highlight of the three acts. But it gets us going, and it proceeds at a fair lick as does the whole film. And it ends on a work do. Who doesn't like a work do? A good old-fashioned work piss-up, as we would describe it. I think they're just brilliant.
And, a work do? What's that?
Yeah, work do. Like a drinking session with your colleagues. So... yeah, I mean, again, Charlie and I, back in the day, our first employer.
We caned them all.
Oh, my God. Every night there was a corporate car behind the bar. That then set my expectations occasionally to my detriment throughout the rest of my career. Some of the best nights I've ever had out were with work colleagues on the lash.
The problem is, and we won't mention the company, but the company would put X amount behind the bar thinking there's, you know, everyone's going to have like, you know, three or four or five drinks or something like that over the course of the night or whatever, and then they times it by this. What they didn't account for is people that would get the train home, people are getting. So they would put £7,000. Remember Brown's that night, Dom? £7,000. We got told it was £7,000. When we got to, I think, 10 o'clock, we said, how much is left? And they went, £3,000.
Yeah, because that wasn't the maximum. That was the target, wasn't it? Like, so, yeah. It's like, wow.
So we were ordering, I was going, I love a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred. You know, thinking, oh, it's all funny. But it's bottles of champagne. It's just, you were just taking the rise.
Is that a part of US? I mean, what happened eventually, Joe, is USHR culture kicked in the UK and ruined it for everybody. So Christmas parties, office parties.
Yeah, you know, boo.
Yeah, they all fell by the wayside as health and safety and USHR policies kicked in.
With California.
Well, yeah. No, we never had that. I mean, I'm sure some companies did, but they probably were, you know, very successful. Like, we'd have Christmas parties. That's about it. We'd have like an annual Christmas party. But
did you have a finger or secretary behind the photocopier, Joe? Because unless you can answer yes to that question, then you've not had a proper Christmas party, I'm afraid. Yeah. If you can't hear the strands of Wham's Last Christmas playing, Trembler. No, I've gone too far, haven't I? But anyway, let's just establish what the benchmark is.
If you don't wake up the next morning and go, what did I do last night? And then go, oh my God. If you don't do that, then yes. And then no, you've got to go into work.
That's never happened. But do you guys do you have happy hour there?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, not as much. We don't have it. So we've got a chain called Turtle Bay where every hour's happy hour. So it's always two for one. I don't know why they call it happy hour.
Happy hours have got frowned upon these days and they're gradually legislating them out of existence. Yeah, a few idiots die from it. And next thing you know, you've got a moral panic on the front of the newspapers and you can no longer get, you know, three tequila slammers for the price of one, and they're not encouraging binge drinking in the afternoon anymore.
Thankfully, Weatherspoons is one big happy hour.
I wouldn't know, I'm afraid. But
You snob. Yeah, I'm not going to drink there. I'd rather pay £12 for my Tanqueray and Mediterranean tonic. Get in there, £4.
I paid £6 for a lager shandy the other day in Leeds. Pint of, but even so.
Not in Weatherspoons?
No, obviously not in Weatherspoons.
Yeah, they are. It'd be about £2.20.
You got to go out of your way to get that.
I'll have a pint of lager shandy and a venereal disease, please, and perhaps possibly salmonella from touching the bar. Is that all right? Is that extra? Yeah, no, I wouldn't know where to start.
All right. Anyway, boss, it goes under 50. It blows up. Right. Back on it. Otherwise, I might just rename the podcast. I don't know, because we go all over the shop.
Where's Amanda when we're talking about Christmas parties and post-work piss-ups? That's what I want to know. Can we not just bring her in for this part of the pod?
No, she's not well. She can't just turn up and go, yes, I didn't want to watch the film. I didn't want to do anything, but yes, I do have some very salacious filth.
She's going to come in with a big ice pack on her head. Thermometer in her mouth.
She's not a cartoon character, Joe. She's not going to like it. It's just the thermometer sticking out. The,
While we were talking about Tarantino, Renny Harlin and Tarantino were offered to direct Speed, by the way. That would have been an odd choice. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Speed.
It would have been a different movie.
It would have been a better film, yeah.
Yes.
It might have been a classic, more of a classic, I would say. I mean, it's a classic action film. It's not a classic movie, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's not a classic movie. Yeah. What do we like the premise? Do we like the stunts? Do we like the way that it's filmed? Because I think that's quite important. So, you know, especially when he's looking at the bomb, which is like, excuse me, Jack? And then she's going, where do I go? There's a queue here. Like, you know, and I need to keep the but 50. The tension, I think, is really good. It's enough to go. There's times when it was, you could see that it was slowing down and it was going way under 50. But you know, you're supposed to suspend your disbelief.
Didn't they have cruise control
on a bus? That's,
yeah, wait, I mean, why not?
For a minute there, I thought you were talking about Speed 2 cruise control. That's what, oh, no. It's cool.
Plus, yeah, I thanks. Mean, thanks, where they could have put the bus on cruise control or something, where it wouldn't go below 50.
Well,
and then she could have switched seats, although it wouldn't have
it been. It was an old bus, though. Yeah. We ignore the fact that how many people died. We don't know how many people died on that original bus when it blew up to get Keanu Reeves' attention. Hmm. Was that more people or was it less people or whatever? But suffice to say, one of the things that I read, Sandra Bullock, she actually learned to drive a bus and got her license so that she could look as if she knew sort of what she was doing when she was driving the bus. And she did drive in quite a lot of the scenes as well. So that's not bad. That's not Robert De Niro-esque method acting, but it certainly shows a bit of a commitment, doesn't it?
I think one of the things about this film is, can you imagine the difference between this being filmed in the US with Sandra Bullock driving the bus, or it being filmed in the UK with a UK bus full of its typical passengers making this film? Because that would have been hilarious with the young kids sniffing glue at the back of the top deck and, the pensioners sitting there with their faces on. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
And the guy taking a leak in the in the top corner where he thinks the mirror can't see him.
Does a double-decker bus go over 50?
I think it could do. I don't think much over 50. You don't have that sort of room to play around with. 53, so you've got 3 miles an hour probably to work with.
Yeah, you'd be rooting for the terrorists, put it that way.
The bus jump. We need to talk about the bus jump. We know it's preposterous, but it's still well done. Yeah.
You mean the freeway one, or when the guy jumps onto the other bus?
The freeway one.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that the bus jump wasn't in the original script. DuPont came up with it when he noticed one of the sections missing of the 1 I-05 freeway was missing. Sometimes I read this trivia and I go, I don't believe that. Because I don't think that you would change the script of the film to include probably a very expensive bus jump stunt just based on, oh, well, that's not finished. Oh, that might be a good idea. Yeah, let's work that in.
So what's the deal with that? Was that an actual stunt?
Yeah, so the bus, what happened was the bus went over, as I remembered this, I didn't write it down. The bus is filmed on an elevator. You can go and on a ramp, and it goes up. And it leaves. So you've got all the cameras filmed there, but they didn't anticipate how far it would go. So it basically destroyed most of the cameras that are there. So they had to get new cameras and site them in a different place. The bus is supposed to look like it goes up and then makes it just. And I think it works. A lot of people lampoon it. A lot of people don't like it. But if you want bad jumps between sections of the freeway that are missing, then Blues Brothers, let's not forget the Blues Brothers, where the car actually ends up taller than a skyscraper. But then that's just funny.
Well, when I was watching it, I didn't think that would ever work in real life, the way that they executed it. There's no way in hell, if there wasn't a ramp that the stuntmen used, there was no way in hell that they would have been able to execute that.
No, so that it goes up, so you can see the behind the scenes, it goes up, it leaves, they film it, and then just film the bus going on the ramp on the other side. So there is a freeway there. There was never a gap. It's all that's possibly the only CGI. Well, probably some other moments.
No, I get that, but story-wise, I'm just saying I don't think that they would have ever made it.
No, there's no absolutely way. Not. It would have slowed. It would have had to slow down, despite the fact that he floored it and it was going 70. It still wouldn't have reached 50 the other side. It would have slowed down and then had to speed up again. So, yeah, the bus would have just gone. But, yeah.
I thought the more important scene than that, which I thought it was a bit of a throwaway scene, which could possibly have been improvised. But I thought the scene where he's underneath the bus trying to disarm the bomb was better and more important to the overall film, you know, where he's sliding along underneath.
In the airport, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty creatively done. I think one of the strengths of the film, it is quite a creative premise. You know, we're all used to it now, so, and it's been parodied and pastiched The Simpsons, Father Ted, they all do their own take on speed. But yeah, that's a sign that the film has had a, you know, created ripples within popular culture. And and I think that one of the highlights of the film is its creative premise, and some to your point earlier, Charlie, about the innovative camera angles, the way it's filmed, you know, does bring you into it as the audience, you know, that kind of, there is peril when he's underneath it and he's been dragged along and there's, you know, obstacles coming his way and he's, you know, on a tiny little thin tray underneath this huge bus going at 50, allegedly at 50 miles an hour. I thought that was well done.
It's going 50 miles an hour without any tyres because they get blown as soon as he goes into the airport. I'm thinking, well, that's what we call stingers in the UK. They used to basically slow down cars so they, the police put them out on the road, boom, tyres go, and then that's it. Easy to capture. I did think that was a bit odd, but I forgot about the other Tarantino thing. Tarantino said Speed is one of his 20 favourite films since 1992.
Surprised, to be honest?
Well, I guess he goes all over genres. If you listen to his podcast, he does some really obscure stuff. But the way that he talks about it is just... It becomes your new favourite film. Because you thought... I mean, he talked about Rollerball on one of them, and I was just like, his insights on Rollerball... Did this guy just sit and watch? I mean, I just sat and watched films, but I never became a director. I didn't work in a video store, but I might as well have done.
The original Rollerball?
Yeah, that is a classic.
Yeah, we'll talk about the original one. Yeah.
Okay.
I just think if you listen to him doing his own podcast or the, is it Seth Rogen's podcast? He's just a consummate storyteller. He can make anything sound interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Joe Rogan one, where he's just basically been going back and forth.
Joe Rogan, yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of ones that he's been on, but he's just great. He's just really good.
I wonder if anyone's going to choose a Quentin Tarantino film for our 90s season. Listeners, keep listening. Viewers, keep viewing.
Somebody's got to, haven't they? You can't do the 90s and not have Tarantino. You can't. So I guess that's what means it's dynamic. If nobody's picked one by the end, then it'll have to be me. I'll pick Jackie Brown. Joke.
What, are you saying you didn't like Jackie Brown?
No, I'm saying that out of the 90s repertoire, it's probably the least rated, I would say, but it's still wonderful.
Yeah.
I ended up watching Out of Sight over Christmas as well. Jennifer Lopez, Michael Keaton reprising his role from Jackie Brown. I did like that crossover, the completely unnecessary crossover, but yeah. Michael Keaton playing the same character, which is pretty good. Let's go to the third act, the subway. Do you know that the movie ran out of money? And when it was presented to the audience, the subway scenes, they didn't have any money to film them. So they showed them what they had done, concept and storyboards. And the audience reaction was so good, they went, we're going to have a hit on our hands here. We need to go and film the last bit. We need to make sure it's perfect and it matches what we've just shown them. I like that story, if that's true. I do wonder with, again, some of these trivia things, but that seems real enough.
Well, it sounds plausible. I thought it was overindulgent, the subway scene. I thought it was unnecessary after the bus scene. I just thought it was like Hollywood excess, so maybe that plays into the story you just shared there, but it just felt like, how can we burn through some more money and have yet another unnecessary layer on top of this story that we've established? So yeah, I thought the third act, the subway act, was the weakest part of the film.
I did like the interplay between the two of them when he knew that he couldn't rescue her because he couldn't undo the handcuffs, and he's trying to kick the thing down and he's trying to pull it and he's getting all Point Break about it, just before he might as well shoot a gun up in the air or something at that point, because he was so frustrated with not being able to save her. Personally,
I thought that was offset with the very implausible fight on top of the subway train between Dennis Hopper and Keanu Reeves, which in reality would have lasted one punch, and Dennis Hopper
pretty much
flies off to the subway house in the sky.
But the reason the subway scenes are in there is because when it was presented to not Universal, basically they came around and went, there's too much bus, people won't watch a 2-hour film about bus, it needs to be split up in some way. So that's where you get the subway bit from.
They should have called it Elevator Buses and Subways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a snappy title.
John Candy and Steve Martin in it as well.
Directed by Steven Soderbergh. Yeah, definitely.
But I think, like, realistically, I mean, he was in communication with the police department, Keanu Reeves. I forget.
Yeah, like, no, he trained with the SWAT for 2 months. Both him and Jeff Daniels.
No, his character, when they were on the subway, was he able to talk to them?
No, because the radio basically wasn't working. You presume it was shot as part of the guy that, yeah, the Dennis Hopper shooting the guy, he shot the radio. So you could get partial things. You could hear the captain partially do that, but you're right, it's a bit strained because you've got, oh, well, we need to go faster, so we jump the tracks. We need to do, you know, there's, like, we need to go faster so we make the jump on the bus. It's just, yeah, probably in the cold light of day, it feels probably a bit hackneyed.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just turned the electricity off.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there must be some way to slow it down. I mean, get another train to go in front and just
and there's also
hit it until it slows.
Trains have, subways have emergency brakes.
It was shot by Dennis Hopper's gun. There you go. If you don't have a reason of why, then
But they have brakes and emergency brakes. I think they're in two different areas. Anyway.
So yes. Anyway, love, good end. Let's get to the scores, shall we? And unless there's anything else you wanted to cover, let's get to those scores. Well. Shall I go first? Seeing as it's my choice.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason why I chose this. As you say, there's probably the it's still in the vernacular. You still go pop quiz, hot shot. People know what you're talking about. If you say, "Oh, a bus doesn't go below 50," everyone knows what you're talking about. And that's rare because there's some action films in which, you know, you might have thought that they made a dent in pop culture. Not so much. This definitely has. So for me, I think the performances are all good. I don't think there's a bad performance in this, including Sandra Bullock. So I'm going to give it an 8. Okay. Over to you, Joe.
I am also going to give it an 8.
Whoa, yes.
I was
same wavelength, my friend.
I am surprised that they haven't announced a remake.
Oh, they'd mess it up.
They would, of course. It's never going to be better. Never going to be better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be diverse.
It would be anyway. Very diverse.
Yes, absolutely. Dom? Oh, this is where he's gonna.
No, look, I'm gonna
write down his score and then show it to the camera.
I'm gonna tantalize you first because I have got the scores from some of the people.
Oh yeah, you've got other scores as well. They don't count towards the main, so we're actually gonna keep an average this year, but I would like to know the other scores.
Right, so here's Rose's pithy comment. So it was good, but it spent too much time filming them in the bus. 7 out of 10 from Rose.
Good, but too much bust.
Too much time filming them in the bus. Isabel, thrilling edge of your seat film makes the time go quickly. 8 out of 10 from Isabel.
Wow. What was Rose? Sorry. What was Rose's?
7 out of 10 she gave it.
7. Okay.
Friend of the pod, Frankie Giles, declared it bang average, 5 out of 10.
Bang average. Jesus. They're right, okay.
Average, yeah.
Oh, here comes Dom's 5. Yeah.
I thought it was a creative film. You know, it's although it is somewhat evocative of the '80s, it's, you know, the actual premise and the plot and so on, I do think deserves some brownie points for being creative. I think the writing is good, some good one liners, quotable, some of it still persists. I think Dennis Hopper's the best part of it. I just think it lacks something in comparison to the true action film classics, and I think a big chunk of that's to do with the two leads. For all their supposed chemistry and the fact that it launched their careers, I think Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock aren't wonderful. And could if we were going to ever do an inter-season section on who could you put into this film and make it better, I think there's a ton of people that could make this film better on both Keanu and Sandra Bullock's side. So, look, it's good. It passed the time. It's a good opener to our 90s season, but I'm going to give it a slightly lower 7 out of 10.
Well, that's all right. I didn't think it was going to be. I thought it was going to be worse than that.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Like that. Right, well, we're going to go into the choice of the next film. I'm going to lose for about 60 seconds, maybe just a little bit more. I'm going to lose the people on the audio podcast. So you may want to switch into video. But I went through and I found one of the... So the ticket stubs of all the films that I went to see in the 90s.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So Friday, the 14th of September, 1990, I went to see House Party. What else have we got? Boys in the Hood, second of the of November, 1991. Uncle Buck. They didn't have a date on it, so it was basically at the time National Lampoon's. But here's the ticket that I wanted to say. I'm not sure you can see it. Die Hard 1 and 2. Starting at 10 to 10. And that's where they showed Die Hard 2 first and then realised their mistake and said, do you want to stick around and watch Die Hard? Yeah. And so we emerged from there at about 2:30 in the morning.
How long did it take them to realise their mistake?
I don't know, because they just showed Die Hard 2 first. And I was like, it's supposed to be a double bill. Maybe they're not going to show it.
If the projectionist should have seen immediately when it went, Die Hard 2.
Projectionist, John, Tom. These days, there's a button that somebody presses while they are inadvertently serving the nachos. They just remember to make sure that the robot's doing its job.
But in the 90s, there was a projectionist, and they should have seen right away that, hey, all right, hold on, folks. I'm changing the reels. I made a mistake. I made a boo-boo.
Well, it was good to see them both anyway, even though it was the censored version. So we didn't, the version we saw was the 15.
Good Lord.
The 18. So there was a lot of censors, you know, a lot of F-bombs taken out. And icicle in the eye as well. Shocking. Anyway, bonus point for anyone that gets picks a film in the 90s that's in here.
Okay.
I don't know what you get. Probably my adulation that you picked something that I went to go and see. However, there is Stallone's film Oscar in there that I noticed, and nobody needs to see that. But anyway, I digress. Joe, we can wait no longer. What film are we doing next?
Yeah, it's interesting that you guys mentioned at some point we're going to cover a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Okay.
Yes, we are. Next episode will be Pulp Fiction.
Hey! Right. Excellent. You can't do a season from the 90s and not do Pulp Fiction. So I'm glad we come straight out of the traps. Speed, Pulp Fiction. Good Lord, where are we going to go with this? Especially, this is Dom's home turf. This isn't Amanda's, because she still didn't watch the film. But I mean, yes, she's sadly missed on this podcast.
Amanda's doing our third film, isn't she? And I'm getting the end, the fourth.
Pulp Fiction. There's no different version, is there? There's no director's cut or anything like that. It's just, I think there's just the one. Wow.
The big boys are coming out, right?
Do we need to do that in two? Because I mean, the roll call has got to be.
No, you just need to be more selective. We need to like the first. We need to. Oh God, it is a bit hard, actually, isn't it? Yeah.
That's
we need to eliminate.
Well, we
people
can't do two
previous episodes. So who have we done before? Uma Thurman, have we done her before?
We do The Decline of John Travolta, which I think we've done before. We have covered a John Travolta film, but I forgot which one.
But you still got to talk about him.
Bruce Willis we've done before, definitely, so we can skip him.
Right. Well, yeah, but I mean, Bruce is going through his thing at the moment, and you can't just skip.
Well, let's just anticipate it's going to be a little longer.
Fine, yeah, if it needs to be. You need to talk about John Travolta's 80s. Because, I mean, it's dreadful. As I think we must have talked about this before, where he's making films like The Experts. Dear me. Dear me.
Well, I'll wait for the next episode.
All right, okay. Good choice. Good choice. Dom, can you be honest now? Was that going to be one of yours?
No.
Okay.
Was it going to be one of yours?
I I would have. Well, which one would I have chosen out of the 90s? There's only three, isn't there? There's Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and Jackie Brown. I think that's it for the 90s.
So you haven't even decided what your four are?
I have, yeah. Yeah, no, I've got...
No,
I've got,
no I mean, Charlie.
I sort of, yeah. I've got a list of 10. And I'll pick from there. I'll pick
Looking forward to doing Pulp Fiction, but if I was choosing a Quentin Tarantino one, I think I'd have done Reservoir Dogs, because maybe it's slightly more debatable, that film.
You've got to give... Sometimes you just got to give the audience what like. Reservoir Dogs is amazing. Jackie Brown is amazing, regardless of what I said. They're all great. But Pulp Fiction is just head and shoulders. It's game-changing. It's just... Good choice. Right. Well, welcome to season 8. Joe, do you want to tell people where you can find you? Because now I'm well excited because you had a little break from your podcast, but it's back with a vengeance, back with a belter. Do you want to tell people where they can find it?
Yeah. I have a podcast called WDWNT Nerd Alert, and we cover mostly nerdy things like Marvel, Star Wars, DC, Indiana Jones, and we had a little break. Fredra was not there. She was doing another moon ceremony.
Okay.
We didn't do one last week because she was doing a moon ceremony, and then she realized she had a second one. So, you know, we said, we'll just do it, Jack and I. And we had a good one last episode. It was kind of fun.
Oh, it's great. It's great to see Batman, as I say.
Thanks.
I know it was a longer break than probably what you expected and everything, but you're back. Dom hasn't got a podcast, so no, nothing to. If you ever did a podcast, what would you do? Pop Quiz Hotshot, what would you do?
I've only got time in my life for one podcast. I've got a complicated life these days, and here
what
I
would
am.
You, no, what would you, like a hobby thing? I mean, would you do it on...
I would assume it'd be alcohol.
Oh, right, okay. Crikey.
Alcohol through the ages.
That's damning. Well, I've recently started taking up Italian, so in my private life, so I've started Italian lessons, so that's something you didn't know about me.
Any particular reason?
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I've always, you know, a bit of investment in personal development, do love the country, would like to be able to speak the language, you know, the obvious reasons for doing Italian, so that's that.
You're planning on going there?
Yeah, no, I've been to Italy a few times. Yeah, definitely planning on going back again soon. I love the country, the sport, the fashion, everything about it, really. So I thought I'd learn the language. But if I was doing a podcast on something that wasn't 80s or 90s films, probably books. I'm quite an avid reader, so I do quite enjoy books. I'd like to join a book club in real life. That doesn't make me sound too lame. It does, doesn't
Hardman's
it? I've lost you both.
No, welcome one and all.
Gather around, sit by the fire.
Sit by the fire.
Sit on my knee.
We're going to be watching, we're going to be covering Stephen King's The Shining.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's literature. I'm not going to be doing
it. Sit on your knee. Not that type of podcast. Okay.
Right. Well, we've come back full circle to Tom Hanks, haven't we? So, on that note.
Right. Yes, on that note. That's we made it so far. We got right to the end and then we got a copyright. Well, we got some sort of strike. He probably owns YouTube. I don't know. Who knows? Right. On that note, we'll see you on the next one. I'm going to say cheerio.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.